In the year 1623, John Donne wrote the following words: "No man is an island, entire of itself. Every man is a piece of the continent, a part of the main." 1600 years before that, the Apostle Paul wrote these words: "The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it." Each person must respond to the calling to be Jesus' disciple individually. It's a personal decision. It's not a decision that I can make for you, and it's not a decision that you can make for me. It's a personal decision. We enter the life of a disciple personally, individually, and voluntarily. But having entered the life of a disciple individually, we instantly become part of a larger community. Let me illustrate if I can. As you can see, this is a jar of coins, quarters, dimes, nickels, and pennies. And the top being sealed and unremovable, there's only one way that a coin can enter this jar. It's through a slot in the top of the jar. There's really no other way it can get in. Now, I have a coin. This is not going to be a magic trick, so don't get your hopes up. But this coin is outside this jar, and so it's not part of the community of coins on the inside. Now, you can see the coins in there. You can see that the coins inside do form a kind of community, a collection. But this coin is not part of it. This is a common coin in most senses, in that there are millions of coins just like this one. But this coin is actually unique in the sense that there is only one coin just like this one in the whole world. Just one. When this coin passes through the door of the jar, it immediately becomes part of the other coins. It interrelates to them. It's part of the community, if you will, of these other coins. Many coins, one community. One community, many coins. Now, the Word of God clearly teaches us that there is only one door through which you can enter discipleship. Jesus said he is the door, and that you must enter in through him in order to be saved. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. No one can become his disciple except through him. We can only enter the door one at a time. But after we enter, we join the community of the saints who have entered before us. Back in September, we began exploring our mission together. And as you know, it has three components: calling, growing, impacting. The life of a disciple begins at the point when one accepts the call of Christ to follow him. To say no to that calling is to say no to discipleship. To say yes to the calling is to receive Christ as Savior and as Lord. He becomes my master. He becomes my authority. He becomes the ultimate boss of my life. He sets the agenda. Saying yes begins a lifelong journey of growing as a disciple. Just as we said, babies and plants all are meant to grow, so disciples are meant to grow too. And while growing as a disciple, we make an impact on the world. Now, there are lots of ways we can make an impact on the world, but the primary way is through service. This month, we began exploring disciple distinctives. That is, what makes a disciple different? What sets a disciple apart from those who are not disciples? We're now looking specifically at commitments that disciples make. We said that a disciple makes a commitment to the Word of God, reading it, studying it, and as we were well reminded today, memorizing it and applying it. A disciple also makes a commitment to prayer. We looked at that last week. And today we're going to say that a disciple makes a commitment to community. To community. Now, just so we're all on the same page, we should take a moment and at least define what community is, so we all know that we're talking about the same thing. Community is defined as a group sharing common characteristics or interests and perceiving itself as distinct in some respect from the larger society within which it exists. Okay? So community shares common characteristics. In the case of the church, we share common beliefs, common concerns, common values, a common mission, and a common spiritual destiny. And as a church, we are distinct, are we not, from the larger society within which we exist. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 sheds a lot of light on this subject. So I invite you, if you haven't already turned to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, now would be an excellent time to do that. It's on page 1137 if you are using the Sanctuary Bible as opposed to your own. It's in the rack in the seat in front of you. Page 1137, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And verse 12. Where it says, the body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts. And though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free. Community is a unit made up of individual parts. And though the parts are many, there is only one community. The church is comprised of baptized believers, those who have been baptized by the Spirit of God into the body of Christ. The church is a community of believers. The church is a community of disciples, in fact. This is what we have in common. This is what makes us community. Like the coins in the jar, different from each one in certain ways, but in the most fundamental ways, the most basic ways, we're alike. Joined together in the same place, in the same way, for the same reason, and for the same purpose. That makes us community. That makes us the community of the church. So that's the meaning of community. A unit of individuals drawn together in common belief and common concern and common mission that's distinct from the larger world and the larger society. But you know, in the church, the connection is far deeper than this. The connection, in fact, is so intimate that the Bible doesn't compare it to the coins in a jar, or to a sports team, or to the Lions Club, or even to a family. It compares it to the human body. Look at verse 14. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now that's pretty obvious, isn't it? One head, two ears, two eyes, two hands, two arms, two legs, two feet. We got it. Many parts. But though our bodies are made up of many individual parts, we have one body, right? We would all agree with that. For most of us, that's plenty. Verse 15 elaborates. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. What if, for example, one day you were sitting at your computer typing away, or maybe working a crossword puzzle or writing a letter, and your foot should say to you, you know, I'm getting pretty annoyed with the fact that you've been using your hands all this time, and I've been down here, and I really don't like being ignored, and in fact, I am, from this point on, declaring myself no longer part of your body. I'm moving on. You'd say, hold it right there. You're not going anywhere. In fact, in just a moment, I am going to be walking to the next room. And I'm going to need you guys a lot more at that point than I'm needing my hands at this point. So you stay where you are. You're important to me. And by the way, stop your whining. You'd give the same lecture to your ear if it should complain about not being your eye. You'd say to all of your body parts, stop it. You are all important to me, and I need all of you. Verse 17, in fact, says, if the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? Makes sense, doesn't it? But in fact, God has arranged the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. Verse 20, as it is, there are many parts, but one body. That's community. Many parts, one body. Many members, one community. Many components, one whole. So, we know what community is. We know how community is interconnected. Now let's see how community is interdependent. It relies upon each of the parts to contribute to the whole. Verse 21, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you, and the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. The point here is that the individual parts of the community are dependent upon the other parts of the community. In other words, we need each other. It's not saying that all of the parts are equal. That would be a mistake. It's not saying all the parts are equal. It's saying all of the parts are important. They all fill a function that's important and necessary. Now, good, it's still here. This is a glove. Now, please, no O.J. Simpson remarks. You know that's what you're thinking. Anyway, this is the glove, okay? But I'm going to let it represent my hand, okay? Now, let's just say, due to some unfortunate circumstance, I were to lose my hand, okay? I don't mean misplace it. I mean lose it. So I no longer have my right hand. Now, tell me, would my body miss my hand if it was gone? Would it make any difference to my body if my hand was missing? Of course it would. It would make a profound difference. In fact, it would make more of a difference than I can probably even comprehend at this point. But tell me, would my hand miss my body? Would my hand be in any kind of a different situation, detached from my body? Of course it would. In fact, it would be a profound loss to my body to lose my hand, but it would be absolutely, totally destructive for my hand to lose my body. My hand could not survive without being attached. There would be no nerves or muscles to operate it, no blood supply, no eyes to guide it, no source of nutrients to nourish it. It couldn't even serve its own purpose, much less my body's purpose. This is exactly what the Word of God is telling us, that the individual parts of the body, us, are necessary for the body to function most effectively. Even though the body can survive without certain parts, and we can survive just as our bodies can survive without certain parts, some parts it obviously needs. You know, you're going to need a heart at all times. But some parts it can survive without. But the individual parts of the body must be part of the body in order for it to function as intended at all. You see that? The community needs its individual members. And the individual members need community. You need me, I need you, we need you, you need us. Let me give you four reasons quickly why a disciple must be committed to community. There are a lot more than four, but I'm going to give you four. First of all, community helps keep us accountable. One of the benefits of community in the life of a disciple is that it provides accountability for us. It's the reason people get training partners and they don't try to train alone. It's the reason why two friends get together and say, hey, why don't we take this course together? We'll kind of spur each other on. It's why I would say to you, call me so I don't forget. That's accountability. I need accountability. You need accountability. And community helps provide it. Proverbs 13:20 says, he who walks with the wise grows wise. And community provides the support that we need. Ecclesiastes 4:10 says, if one falls down, his friends can help him up. But pity the man who falls and has no one to help him up. And verse 20 of 1 Corinthians 12, or verse 26 says, if one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, each part rejoices with it. You know, joy shared multiplies it, doesn't it? Isn't joy enhanced? Isn't it increased when you can share it with someone else? But sorrow and suffering shared reduces it. Isn't that amazing? That's why we have the saying that shared joy is double joy. Shared sorrow is half sorrow. And in community, we accomplish more than we could ever accomplish alone. The fact is, none of us are as strong as all of us. Ecclesiastes 4 again, verse 12. Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. There's strength in numbers, and there's strength in community. And lastly, in community, we all benefit from the contributions of everyone else. Proverbs 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Now, two pieces of iron aren't of a great deal of value, are they? But if they are used to sharpen the other piece of iron, they are, and I can sharpen you. That makes us both sharper, is interconnected of Jesus Christ is, and how it's defined and how it's known. The invisible church, or the universal church, is comprised of all true believers in Jesus Christ from Pentecost to when Christ returns. It includes believers from every land, tongue, tribe, nation, people, and period of time, all the way from the day of Pentecost, about 2,000 years ago, all the way till when Christ returns. When Christ returns, that's the end of the church in terms of people coming into it. No more coins can go in the jar at that point. Only God knows who is in that company, who is in that community. Many people claim to be in it, but Only God knows who really is in the community of the invisible church. That's why it's called the invisible church. But the New Testament also clearly defines the local church. The local church is comprised of professing believers in Jesus Christ, confessing believers in Jesus Christ who have made a commitment to Christ and to the community. That's what the local church is. Now, the New Testament symbol of the commitment to Christ and his church was baptism. That was the standard visible symbol that I had moved from the point of being outside the community to where I had received Christ as Savior and I was now committing myself to the community. That was the symbol. And when you were baptized, the whole world knew what you were saying. In the early church, formal membership was confirmed by baptism. It's extremely unlikely that they had membership like in the modern day when we go through a class and you're interviewed by the elder board and then you become a member. And that's simply because it was understood in the first century and beyond that professing believers in Christ would be committed to the community of believers through the local church. It was clearly understood. The concept is foreign to the New Testament of an unbaptized church member. It's an oxymoron. It's a contradiction. It wouldn't even make any sense in the New Testament sense. In the modern world, it's not generally understood that baptism follows a personal profession of faith in Christ. And it is extremely unfortunate that that is where the world is. It's also generally believed in modern America that membership in the local church among true believers is optional. It's optional. It's like fries with your burger or sprinkles on your ice cream cone. It's just totally optional. No thanks, I wouldn't care for any membership. Now I've realized it for a long time, that one can be committed to the local community, to the local assembly, and representation of the larger body of Christ in a local church without being a member. I know that. I understand that. I also realize that one can be committed to a life partner their whole life without ever being married to them. I realize that. But why would anyone settle for that? I don't get it. Why would anyone who has received Christ as Savior, who has committed themselves to follow him as a disciple, who has committed themselves to a local assembly of professing believers who share a common belief, who is in agreement with the mission of that church and the direction the church is moving, why would such a person not be a member of that church? And the answer is, I don't have a clue. I don't have the slightest idea why that would be. Discipleship begins by saying yes to the calling of Christ upon your life. That's where it starts. This begins a lifelong journey as a disciple, which results in growth and impact. A disciple makes many commitments. So far, we've looked at three: a commitment to the Word of God, a commitment to prayer, and today, we've looked at a commitment to community. The life of a disciple is all about commitment from beginning to end. It always has been, and it always will be. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much that you have given us the indescribable privilege of being part of your mission in the world. To receive the calling to be a disciple, and to say yes to that calling, and begin the journey as a disciple, to grow through commitment to your word, through a commitment to prayer, and through a commitment to community. To grow to the extent that we make an impact upon the world. What a marvelous privilege this is. Teach us, we pray, through your word and by your spirit, how important it is to make a commitment to community. That's how we grow. We cannot grow any other way. Like a part of the body cast aside, we will not spiritually survive. We need each other. Each one needs the whole, and the whole needs each one. Press that upon our minds and hearts and spirits, we pray, that we might move forward in our mission, which is your mission. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.